Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you are listening to Financial Survival. And I'm here with my co-host today, Dave Allen, bringing you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Today is Monday, July 30th, 2018. Good afternoon, Dave.
Happy Monday, Melody.
Hey, happy Monday to you, too, and to the listeners. Things just continue to get crazier and crazier, and let's see here. Let me get out of this screen here so I can get to the closing prices today for gold and silver. And we just can't get a break, but the break is coming. So the break is giving you the opportunity to buy more gold and silver because it is a great buying opportunity. You have gold down $2 today at $1,222. Silver is holding at $15.57. Platinum was down $2 at $831, along with palladium was up two at $931. USDX today was down 0.33 at 94.34. Crude oil got a big pop back up over 70, barely, but 70.03. And last minute of trade, you have some negatives in the market. You have the Dow down 144 points at 25,306. The NASDAQ was also down 107. That's almost a little over 1.33% at 7,630. The S&P was down 16, 2,802. The 10-year yield was up 0.01 at 2.98. Euro, of course, was stronger with a weaker dollar. And it's everything is just so focused on the GDP. Now you're beginning to hear a little bit about which we've talked about at length. We're going to talk a little bit more about it today, I believe, about the Russia's dumping about 84% of its American debt, and if it means anything at all. I have read some commentary that they're just switching it over to the Cayman Islands as their assets increase by 20%. So, you know, with the sanctions, but we'll talk about that in a little bit. So it's in today's world, Dave. I've tried to find the truth. I try to use a little bit of my intelligence along with common sense to get the correct answers and at least try to find a path. And then as soon as you feel comfortable with what you're saying, you know, something comes out of the left field and it's like, well, maybe I have to change that thinking a little bit. And it's crazy and bizarre, the times that we live in, and particularly what's items that are being focused on. It's a strange, strange world.
It is. Common sense doesn't seem to swing it much anymore. You got to always look between and behind the lines to get a better feel for what's going on as opposed to what people want you to think is going on.
But common sense and eventually rules, like reality, I think, eventually. But till we get there, you know, it really is kind of crazy. And we're going to talk about the slight increase in the supply of homes that were in June. But I do want to make a comment, and I hope we do get to this article. Maybe we'll save it for the third segment of the program today. And one of my favorite websites is antiwar.com. They got some great articles in there. It really tells you what's going on around the world. And they're talking about Yemen and what's really happening in Yemen and how that is just really totally, it's like a blackout for when it comes to that war. But the devastation and the number of people, I mean, there's predictions for in a month. You're talking about annihilation of millions and millions of people due to starvation. And no one is talking about it. We talk about it here once in a while, you know, if something happens and they're allowed to report on it and so forth. But it is interesting that, you know, the humanitarian crisis and everybody has just turned a blind eye. Now, I guess there's a lot of other parts of the world, but I think this is the And I agree with the writer that this is probably the worst of them all at this point in time, if one can be more worse than another, if that makes sense, Dave. But
it can. It can. Just as everyone is created equal, some people are more equal than others. Well, there are the worst of the worst. And certainly what's going on in that part of the world is just pretty crazy. I mean, here in our own hemisphere, we've got, fascism on the rise in Nicaragua. It's our own, the Americas haven't escaped this turmoil. It's just a lot more widespread than what we see in our mainstream news.
Yeah, absolutely. They're so focused on one thing since the election that they have just closed out everything else, and they can report on what they're reporting on. I get it, but hey, open up and start doing some other things. There's a lot more going on into the world, and I hope that's what this program also brings to the listeners. But let's get back to the homes of for sale. There was a slight increase in the supply of homes for sale that brought buyers back into the market in June. The pending home sales, which is a measure of signed contracts to buy existing homes, rose 0.9% in June, compared to May. And of course, this is all reported by the National Association of Realtors. Sales, however, were 2.5% lower than they were in June of 2017. And pending home sales have been down annually for six straight months. So we've seen increases in pretty much all the regions of the country. Compared to a year ago, however, sales were lower in all regions and the weakest in the West. So they come out with all these great reports, Dave, saying that, it's better. But when compared to a year ago, the numbers are a lot weaker.
Indeed. Some economists are saying, Melody, that, the positive forces of faster economic growth and, this supposed steady hiring are being met by the negative forces of higher home prices and mortgage rates. The severe shortage of homes for sale has been plaguing the housing market for more than a year. As demand rises, prices continue to go up. With multiple offers more the norm than the exception, particularly on higher-priced houses. Total housing inventory at the end of June rose about 0.5% compared to June of 2017, and that's the first annual increase in 3 years. A lot of pressure on housing, as we've talked about regularly now over the past several weeks. And affordability has hit the West especially hard, as you alluded to. Home sales in Southern California, for example, plummeted last month as buyers came up against red-hot prices. And speaking of red-hot, the growing presence of wildfires there will only make matters worse, particularly for sellers.
Yeah, I think we're going to be talking about those wildfires a little later on in the program. Again, they're being hit again, just like they were last year in certain parts of California. And when you see the pictures, it's just, I just can't even imagine. And I think this big wildfire was somebody dropped a mat. I mean, it was just they know exactly how it started and so forth. But I think you're going to start seeing sellers are going to start lowering their prices. And there's been reports that the real estate agents there's fewer bidding wars. So we could see a turn in the market. And so we'll see what, as we follow this, how it impacts. But home buying is very important to the economy. And so these numbers do matter. And so we'll see how it fares through. Well, prices, as I mentioned during the market report, are back up over $70 today a barrel. U.S. crude is on pace for its best $1 gain in over a month after 4 weeks of losses for the benchmark. And the contract to deliver international benchmark Brent crude for September was up 72 cents or 1%. The September contract expires on Tuesday, and of course, trading was therefore heavier for the October contract, which was up 83 cents. Let's see if there's any other interesting information. The WTI was down more than 7% over the last 4 weeks as heavy losses in a handful of trading sessions did wipe out string of modest daily gains for the benchmark, Dave.
It's true. I mean, prices did get support after Saudi Arabia announced that it was going to suspend shipments of oil through the critical Bab el-Mandeb Strait. That's after Houthi rebels, in Yemen attacked a pair of oil tankers in the Red Sea. Speaking of volatility in that part of the world, you know, the Saudis have led a military coalition against the Iran-aligned Houthis for more than 3 years. The Eurasia Group says that the attacks on the tankers represents a serious escalation in dynamics around the Yemen conflict. They said also, while Houthi rebels probably long possessed the capability to threaten Saudi oil shipments in that region, their willingness to use it is a result of rising tensions there. You know, the attack was probably encouraged by the Iranian leadership to demonstrate to the U.S., Saudi Arabia, and Israel that it, Iran, and its allies retain a capacity to respond to intensifying economic, political, and military pressure. You know, the U.S. and Iran have lately been engaged in a war of words, with Iranian officials threatening to upend oil exports in the world's busiest region for crude shipments. We're looking constantly at the Strait of Hormuz. Tension is rising, you know, ahead of the first of two deadlines next week for international businesses to wind down ties with Iran under renewed U.S. sanctions. That situation has raised concerns that the world will be short of oil going into the fall season.
So those deadlines begin next week?
Begin next week, go into November. I mean, that's the real big one when stop doing business there or you're going to get more than, you know, a 3 a.m. tweet. You're going to get fined as well. So we'll see what kind of international reaction and cooperation comes out of this, and to see if people are going to walk as they've been talking.
You know, I don't know how it's going to play out, because, you know, with the agreement with Iran, you know, you bring in what's happening in Yemen. When you do have these Houthis that are backed by Iran, and we know the Iranian economy is trashing, is falling. I mean, it's their currency is just, you know, in free fall. So it's, you know, so you'll have to see, you know, are they willing to sacrifice their economy for walking away with the deal from Trump? Because you know that deal is going to have to involve, you know, somehow with the Saudis and Yemen and so forth. You know, of course, we won't be privy to that, but you would think that would be a natural, you know, some sort of discussions brought in. So I don't know. It's
If there is a deal this year, I suspect it'll come, or at least Republican leaders are probably lobbying behind the scenes for a treaty-like agreement that would require at least Senate confirmation that puts their majority in a good light heading into the elections.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see how all this does play out.
Indeed. Indeed.
But also there was concerns that have been amplified as Canada's Suncor Energy works to fully restore operations at its massive Syncrude oil sands facility, where we know that the supplies had been disrupted by a power outage earlier this year. So they had scaled back its expectations for productions this year, and there were reports that the facility might not fully be operational as early as expected. So there was a Reuters survey indicates that the 15-member OPEC oil cartel increased output by 70,000 barrels per day in July. So that would mark a slowdown in production growth from June, when the group had hiked production by 173,000 PVDs. So they're looking to add supplies to the market to prevent the prices from rising too quickly and denting any type of demand. So, but we'll see how it works out. We still have the escalating trade battle between the United States and China, and that continues to threaten, you know, the economic growth prospects, which could still weigh on oil consumption.
Mm-hmm.
And something else is beginning to talk a little bit. Of course, everybody goes on vacation in August. I mean, basically, I think Europe shuts down for the month of August, and our little politicians are running home to do their little campaigning. And but we're beginning to hear things that might pop up come September, which is, of course, perhaps another government shutdown. So there was a tweet, I believe, this weekend that President Trump embraced the idea of shutting down the federal government again, this time if the Democrats don't agree to fund his proposed wall, as well as the other immigration-related provisions. So, of course, this just came days after a meeting with the Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell and House Speaker Paul Ryan. Last week, Ryan and McConnell pitched the president on a strategy intended to minimize the threat of a shutdown over the border wall.
Yeah, according to the leadership spokespeople, the president seemed receptive to the idea of delaying a fight over the wall, past the September 30th government funding line. That's the end of the fiscal year, October 1st, the beginning of fiscal year 2019, and until after the November midterm elections. But, his tweet indicates he could be looking for a fight over the issue and willing to risk possibly some Republican prospects in the midterm elections over it. Building the walls, we know, remains one of the president's biggest unfulfilled promises to date, although we're just a year and a half into the administration. But it is an issue that still resonates strongly with the supporters, and one that could very likely drive them to polls in November. Now, Trump's tweet also makes clear he would seek to blame Democrats for an impasse over the wall that blocks funding for the government beyond September 30th. But, within the G because GOP controls both houses of Congress, a shutdown, as we've said every time it comes up, and last year it seemed like it was coming up every 4 to 6 weeks. A shutdown could spark a backlash against, the party in power. As has been the case in budget standoffs during the Trump administration, anyway.
Well, we had a little bit of a foo-foo with your connection there, but you're back. But you know what? If there's going to be a government shutdown, I don't think it's going to be about the immigration. It's going to be about our $1 trillion of debt. It's going to be a wake-up call on what has been spent and where our debt truly is. And we might talk about that when we get back. We're heading into a break now, right now. And so stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Dave Allen.
We will find you acting on your best
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it: to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cedarstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cedarstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. CommonSenseRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Please visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for a weekly newsletter. And 90% silver, the best buy of the day for silver, most cost-effective of the silver products that are out there. I mean, you're paying just about what you would for a silver round, and you're getting real money, still spendable money. You don't want to take it to the store and spend it, but for an extreme emergency, you can. So great deal, the 90% silver, 800-375-4188. Heading into the break, we were talking about closing down government, and I know the thought goes through all of our minds, shut down government. Yay!
Indeed.
But, you know, we do know that, those who, you know, they close things that aren't needed, and government still functions, and, you know, it still goes. So it truly isn't a true shutdown, but it certainly can have a lot of impact, and it's always good for gold and everything else. So, and if it affects our credit rating like it did back in, what was that, 2011, you know, gold popped big, and when they lowered our credit rating for that one time. So I don't know, it's interesting. That's what I think of when they talk about shutting down the government, you know, because they're, you know, unless, you know, they shut it down when there's absolutely no money to be had, and they stop sending checks to Social Security recipients and welfare recipients and everything else, and some of us might even applaud for some of that. But it will get nasty. So they're not going to do it for any length of time. That we do know.
And as long as there's the good old Federal Reserve, Melody,
they can print and print and print.
There you go, rendering any so-called shutdown almost completely irrelevant.
Yes. You know, there was a government funding fight could also have ramifications for the battle over the Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh. The Republican leaders who, I hate to call them leaders, you know, the Republican...
you can say, how about we say officers?
Officers, yeah, they're certainly not leaders. Have said that they would like the conservative federal appeals court judge confirmed by October 1st. But that timeline could stretch out if President Trump decides to make money for the wall a non-negotiable part of the new government funding package. So you have House Member Stevers, the chair of the National Republican Congressional Committee that focuses on electing Republicans to the House, discounted the prospect of a shutdown in an interview on Sunday. He says he doesn't believe that we're going to be shutting down the government. He thinks we're going to just make sure we keep the government open. But we're going to get a good deal on the immigration.
There you go. All that positive talk. Speaking of positive talk, or not so positive talk, depending on your perspective, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce says that spreading a bailout, in its words, across all industries affected by the burgeoning trade spats, would cost taxpayers about $39 billion. That we know, you know, there's already been $12 billion in an emergency aid announced last week for farmers who produce certain goods, particularly soybeans, that have been affected by China's tariffs. The chamber opposes the billions in tariffs that, have been imposed and are scheduled to be imposed on literally thousands of goods from China and others, as well as steel and aluminum imports. The farm aid package was touted as a temporary solution while negotiations continue, but the president is taking seething criticism from members of his own party who have just been unwilling or unable to do anything on their own, and including some farmers themselves. Melody.
Well, you know what, Dave? I've been hearing a couple things coming out from President Trump, and I'm not just sure if he's just wording it this way, but I've heard him say he wants to cut out all barriers and all tariffs. And I don't see anyone commenting. Well, I haven't seen anyone commenting on that. To what does that truly mean? Does it really mean just what he's doing now to, having the tariffs and no one fighting them and so forth? Or is he actually meaning cutting out all barriers and all tariffs, where there wouldn't be any tariffs, there wouldn't be any duties on fraud with our trading partners like the Europeans? Well,
that's how I've taken it, but who knows? I don't know what's meant by those words, and I'm not sure anybody else in the world does either. But it could simply the harsh wording or direct wording, non-diplomatic, if you will, might just be, as many have suggested, just a negotiating ploy to get people's attentions. I think it's, a lot more than that.
I don't mean to interrupt. My apologies.
No worries. Go ahead.
Okay. Because my idea, when I think of cutting down all barriers and tariffs, reminds me of, and I don't know, if, and this is something I wanted to check on and didn't have the opportunity to, the European Union. Do they actually have tariffs within their trading partners, or does the product flow freely within those countries?
I don't know the answer to that. I would guess most of them flow freely, but so, that may be, and I shouldn't necessarily say that because I'm not 100% sure.
So my question is, if we bring down the barriers and take off the tariffs like the European Union does, doesn't that sort of make us part of the European Union to some degree? That's how I see it. I mean, it's almost like, I don't know, it's just, I just can't imagine it being a good thing. I don't know. I don't know what it would do to our economies. I would it bring back manufacturing and everything to eliminate tariffs totally and all barriers and duties and every? I don't know. I can't imagine it's a good thing. But
well, I'll tell you what, though. I hear what you're saying, but I have a feeling it's better, possibly a lot better than tariffs. Because tariffs, I mean, at the end of the day, are nothing but a tax initially on the manufacturer or producer of a good or service that's, in many cases, in most cases, not in all, but in most cases, is passed on to the consumer. So it's just, another euphemism, if you will. Like back in the 80s, we didn't call them tax increases, we called them revenue enhancements. But let's call them for what they really are.
But that's true. But I mean, all the times this country has had tariffs, we've had successful economies.
I absolutely.
The only time we haven't truly had successful economies is after they put us on a fiat currency.
Well, maybe that's the point.
And so, I don't know. It adds another dimension.
Well, and tariff, the tariff isn't a tariff. You know, a 2% tariff is one thing. 10% is a lot different. 50, 25 or 50%. Now you got something big going on there. And that's where I think, you know, again, regardless if it was meant as a negotiating ploy that was never expected to take effect, I think that's where we're getting into trouble. And I think it's going to spell, you know, it's going to spell disastrous for some sectors of the economy, be they business owners or workers, not to mention consumers. So let's hope there, you know, there is negotiation in all, be it multilateral, bilateral, cross-lateral, because I think there's a lot to lose for a lot of countries and its citizens out there, Melody.
Well, what about our own? I mean, we have, you know.
Oh, that's what I'm talking about.
You know.
Right? Talking about primarily.
Yeah.
U.S. Citizens, U.S. consumers.
Let's go back to the chamber. We were talking about the Chamber of Commerce before I went off on about how these tariffs bailout would cost about $39 billion. And in its study of what would happen should the aid program spread, and we're talking about the Farm Bill, the $12 billion emergency aid for the farmers, they said that the effects would be substantial. The best way to protect American industries from the damaging consequences of a trade war is to avoid entering into a trade spat. I'm like that in the first place.
Yes.
A trade spat. The administration's focus should be expanding free trade and removing these harmful tariffs, not allocating taxpayers' money to only marginally ease the suffering for some of those industries feeling the pain of the trade spat. So.
Yeah, well, you know, the chamber did compare the total amount of the farmers' aid to the amount of exports affected by the tariffs. And then it applied the same ratio across other impacted industries to come up with the bailout requirement if it was applied, you know, across the board. So, I suspect that its methodology is, you know, just really rough in nature. But doing so that way, you know, produced the chamber's $39 billion total. Which includes $12 billion to the farmers, another $27 billion to other industries. You know, that impact ranged from like $43 million for starch and glue producers to $7.6 billion for auto, motorcycle, and parts manufacture. Now, there have been no indication from the White House that it is considering extending the aid package to any other industry. And as a matter of proportion, if the administration did decide to compensate all industries and the chamber's figures happen to be accurate, the total amount or the total aid would amount to about 0.2% of GDP and just shy of 1% of the total fiscal 2018 budget. That's expenditures, Melody.
Well, you know, one of the companies that are looking to raise prices is Coca-Cola.
No! My poor mother.
Well, it's not healthy anyway. Drink water. Drink water. Coca-Cola has hiked prices on its drinks because of the 10% tariff on imported aluminum. So, you know, aluminum is made for cans, makes cans for Coke, is used for making cans for Coke and other sodas. So it makes it a little more expensive to make. I'm not sure if it says how much they were actually going to raise the price. But
I haven't seen that this report that, you know, our discussion's based on, or two others that I looked at. I don't know if the prices have been not released yet or what. So we don't have a percentage either, I don't believe.
But this is just one of a couple of other hikes on goods. You have boats, motorcycles, campers, furniture, heaven forbid, beer, bringing the high cost of the tariffs home to the American consumer.
Yeah, I mean, Michael Happ, who's CEO of the RV manufacturer Winnebago, said, you know, while their prices were going to go up, he didn't provide any specifics other than to say the company remains concerned about the tariffs, you know, and to what extent they could put upward pressure on inflation and thus prices or affordability in the coming years. As we reported, according to the Labor Department, consumer prices rose at an annualized rate of 2.9% last month. That's the highest rate in more than 6 years. Producer prices have also climbed to their highest levels in a number of years. Yeah, I remember back in the spring, late winter, early spring, when Commerce Secretary Melanie Wilbur Ross held
Wilbur Ross.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Held up that bottle of Coke, Budweiser, and a can of Campbell's soup in a bid to make the point that, hey, tariffs are nothing. Not to worry about. Consumers won't even notice it. Here, though, we find out that, well, in fact, we just may.
Well, you know, when I was listening to Rush Limbaugh the other day, I was going to the post office, and he was talking about Wilbur Ross, and he must listen to this program because he said Wilbur Ross the same way I do, Wilbur Ross.
Well, you know, Melody, I always said there's nothing like leading by example.
I'll tell you, I was just tickled. I must be listening to the program because, you know, but I'm sure there's a lot of people who say Wilbur Ross the same.
We're going to have to do a Twitter tweet him and say, hey, why don't you give us a little plug there?
Yeah.
Right? You're gonna use our shtick, you know, give us just a tiny bit of credit.
A tiny little credit here. But so even the Beer Institute, and it's a trade group representing beer producers, estimated that the aluminum tariff would cost brewers about $348 million and could lead to more than 20,000 jobs in the industry. And they're all out there whining and crying. But until they actually do it, you know, I'm not going to say, you know, maybe what they'll do is what they have been doing. You know, they'll shrink the bottles. They'll put a little fraction less in there. It goes from 12 ounces to 11 ounces, then 10 ounces. But the bottle stays the same, or the packaging stays the same.
Oh,
that's how they've been able to hide this our regular inflation, not due to tariffs. But so who knows what they might do in order to cover up the anything that might increase. But
who knows? Melody, I think you hit the head on the nail, though. Give it up. Drink water. It's better for you.
It's better for you. So 1-800-375-4188. We're heading into our second break of the day. Today is just flying by, ladies and gentlemen. 90% silver. Give us a call. 1-800-375-4188. We'll be back in just a few short minutes.
Won't you lay it on the line? I need to hear it just one more time. Oh, won't you tell me again? Tell me again tonight. Each and every heart is
food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey water filtration systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today. today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. In the beginning of the program, I mentioned that we talk a little bit about the California wildfires before we go into the talk about an economic slowdown. And, the Northern California wildfire has forced tens of thousands of people to flee their homes. It slowed down yesterday after a couple of days of just explosive growth. And so they're hoping that maybe they can avoid any more deaths. I guess there was a discovery of a sixth fatality. Officials said a second firefighter has died fighting a huge blaze to the south near the Yosemite National Park. You had Bryant Hughes, 33. He was struck by a tree and killed while working as part of a crew removing brush and fuel near the so-called Ferguson Fire's front lines. In the city of Redding, officials struck a hopeful tone for the first time in days. They're feeling optimistic. And so it seems like they're beginning to get it under control. But I've seen pictures, Dave, where they show these fire tornadoes, from the winds
It's frightening.
It truly is.
Frightening to think that someone's living amongst that or trying to escape it. Much less staying and fighting it, which is amazing.
I guess there have been some additional people that have been reported missing. I think there's been 11 reports, but they don't know if they just simply have not checked in with friends or family. But I believe there was a vehicle problem is what ignited the fire. So you just have these gusty winds and dry vegetation. And I was listening to the Weather Channel this morning. They were actually talking that, as the fire is moving on, it's basically drying out the area before it, the winds. And so it just even makes that vegetation just more fuel. I mean, just more explosive to the fire. So it's like, prepping itself to grow even bigger even before it gets there, by the winds in front of the fire, and it's pushing it. So it's kind of interesting to hear that, because I hadn't heard that
Heed the warnings of officials who know better than us in most cases. Even if they say it's a voluntary evacuation, it probably means it's a good idea for you to find just get on out of there. I saw a local TV feed on I forget if it was Saturday night of a younger couple, maybe early 40s. They're two smaller children. I forget, 8-10 years old maybe, were with, I believe, the woman's mother at a house that they were, I believe, away from, and they were under a voluntary evacuation. The grandmother decided to wait it out, and all three of them, including a family dog, I believe, perished in the fire before anyone could get to them. Just a tragic story. Whether a fire or a hurricane, geez, get to safety. There's no pride in a dead ego.
No. Well, let's go back to, let's start talk about the economic, about an economic slowdown that is coming.
Well, Melody, the latest, there's a report that an economic slowdown could be ahead for the United States, not just robust growth. That's no surprise to listeners of Financial Survival and to readers of the American Survival Newsletter. We know that. We just don't know when. The report says, don't be shocked if the economic data turns bad in late 2018. Even a recession could become a reality later this year or early next year. We believe could, it might be a little, you know, on the euphemistic side. Nevertheless, on Friday, the Government's Bureau of Economic Analysis reported, as we know, the GDP grew at an annual pace of 4.1% in the second quarter. You know, the mainstream media cheered over all of this, and all of a sudden there was a new wave of optimism. You know, be very careful, though. Don't jump to conclusions just by looking at the headline numbers, GDP, inflation, whatever. But in this case, the GDP numbers only tell us what happened in the previous quarters, and these numbers get revised, and they get revised more than once, sometimes up, sometimes down. So in the next few months, the second quarter GDP figures could turn out to be different, in fact, much different than they look, or at least than what they reported on Friday. Melody?
You know, not taking away anything from President Trump, but, you know, all administrations, if they get good GDP reads, they're all, you know, the mainstream media, your financial news programs are all going to cheer, you know, for higher numbers. But you're right. They get revised up to three times. They can even go back years to change the data in these GDP numbers. And so we have to really look at what makes up. And I saw a chart today that if you took out, like, the administration, they reduced the tax rates for the corporate America at the end of last year. Starting this year, tax cuts tend to give a temporary boost to the economy, thus the robust growth we've seen since then. Mm-hmm. And we can't stress enough, Howard, that when trying to figure out where the U.S. economy is heading in the long term, you have to look at leading indicators, the ones that tell us how businesses and consumers are going to behave. So if you look at GDP, it's a lagging indicator. You see consumer spending, for example, it can add a lot to the GDP. If consumers turn pessimistic, it hurts consumer spending. And as a result, you see the overall economy is also going to get hurt. You have the American consumers affect the U.S. economy so much that it could pull back on spending. An economic slowdown follows. And guess what? It appears that consumers are rethinking their spending. Think about durable goods, things that last a long time, products like furniture, refrigerators, stoves. Consumers buy these things when they are optimistic and comfortable about spending money. In early 2010, durable good manufacturers were witnessing robust growth in their orders. The growth rate of new orders was above 25%. Now, the growth rate is about 7%. This is a deceleration of more than 70%. So what does it mean? At its core, it says that the consumer demand is taking a massive hit. Yes, orders are growing, but the growth rate is slowing. And new orders at durable goods manufacturers is just one example in a growing list of indicators suggesting that an economic slowdown is ahead for the United States. And I just wanted to say, Dave, if you took out all the stimulus out of the GDP numbers, like the tax cuts, and it actually showed the growth rate at 2.8%,
which is what a lot of people are suggesting it's going to be for the year, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Well, as we've said, you know, our economy did grow the strongest in 4 years in the second quarter. But we're suggesting that a healthy dose of skepticism is called for going forward. I mean, looking at the 4% GDP growth rate, the Fed could decide to raise interest rates faster than planned. We'll know in September if they're going to go ahead with a third hike that's already been suggested. And that many still believe have been built into the paper markets. Will they do it then? Will they wait till December? Will they see that based on where we are now, you know, hey, we got to back off a little bit and just keep a watchful eye? Well, we'll see. But, you know, raising interest rates would certainly throw some cold water on the economy. And that's why, you know, combined with other factors like, you know, growing national and consumer debt, for example, a recession could indeed become a reality in the coming months. So if you're, you know, a paper investor, well, be careful. More than that, be proactive. Stock markets tend to move ahead of the economy. If you don't have 20% in gold and or silver, you're an accident waiting to happen, ladies and gentlemen. You know, a 4% GDP growth rate may have already been priced into the markets. You know, but if a slowdown is ahead, don't be surprised if we see markets react by falling fast and falling steeply. Again, don't wait for it to happen. As Melody said, call us now. You know, to buy the safe havens of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. Melody.
Well, you know, you mentioned 20%. I believe that number should be much stronger because I do believe we're going to have another financial crisis, and it's going to be worse than what it was in 2008. And we're not here just to beat up the GDP numbers. We're here to share with you, to explain to you why the number is and what propelled it to that level. It wasn't just a strong economy. It was the buying of soybeans from China. It was the tax cuts. There's a few items in there. You take those two one-time hits or what do you want to call them, Dave? Those one-time those one-time purchases into the GDP, you pull them out, and we're just back to normal. Mm-hmm. And normal's okay. You know, I mean, everybody, you know, our wages, it's our purchasing power that is not helping people.
It's our loss of purchasing power.
It's our loss of purchasing power. And it all comes back to our money. It always comes back to our money. It always comes back to our fiat dollars. It always comes back to our debt. So I don't care what kind of rosy picture you can paint. I don't care what kind of rosy numbers that you can put out there. Our debts are too big to be paid, period.
Yeah, look,
we
just
can't
to follow up on
ourselves.
That. Yeah, I mean, we're not trying to be thorns in the side of an administration. We're, you know, to give credit where credit is due. You know, hey, 4.1% quarter, that's good. And it's good news for, you know, a lot of Americans. But in essence, at their root, those are political numbers. And, you know, we live in a political world in many cases, but Melody and I are here not to promote anyone's politics or to put anyone's politics down. We're here for what we hope is a dose of truth and reality, and how all of these political events and political comments and commentary affect you, affect all of us on an ongoing daily basis.
You know, I think what you made an important statement there, these are political numbers. And let's look at the reality. Have we hoped for so much and just have never received what was always promised, that we're willing to accept now anything that's given to us? So again, let's look at these things and let's see where the truth is. Are we turning a blind eye to truth because we haven't had, you know, because that hope that, you know, something would be done never was? So now we don't want to know the truth. And I think that's a lot of it. But that's what we're here. And I think I'm repeating myself. And
I'm sorry, Melody.
I'm allowed
it bears repeating. It really does. That's why it's so important to us. And so if you hear us repeating ourselves every now and then, or even a lot sometimes, it's because we think it's important and that, you know, we care enough about you, our listeners, you know, to try and grain it in or ingrain it in you.
You didn't know Bob Chapman. And
I didn't have the pleasure.
And he used to always say that if you didn't have gold and silver, and I can't say it like he does, but it was so true. He'd always say, if you don't have gold and silver in your portfolio, you're going to be living under the bridge. But he's right. Gosh. He's right. Because it's all about money. It's all about fiat currencies. And it's all about our debt. Why do you think it's kind of like the war in Yemen? And we didn't touch on that. Nobody talks about it.
Well, Bob, RIP for sure. Rest your soul, listeners. And let's not prove Bob wrong. In fact, let's prove Bob right. Make sure your portfolio is invested in enough of the safe haven that when the downturn comes, and it's been coming, that you're going to be adequately protected. I mean, just not you, just not your spouse, but your children possibly, and their children as well. 1-800-375-4188.
Generational. This is a generational investment. It truly is, more so than any other paper investment out there. So anyway, we're just about out of time. I want to thank the listeners for joining us today, and I'll be back tomorrow with Butch Paul, and Dave, you'll be rejoining me on Wednesday. So until then, ladies and gentlemen, be safe, good night, and God bless.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay.
Ain't it sad?
And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me.
That's too bad.